Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Eric is our fabulous booth engineer.
And I was sounding a little funny to myself there as I was talking. That's why those extended dramatic pauses. But just didn't have my mic turned up loud enough.
Oh.
It's like physician, heal thyself there for a second there. Engineer, make thyself sound all right.
Come on. So we have a guest in the booth with us today, Dr. Darla Ruers with Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture. Hello.
Hello, Julie. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, this is wonderful because last week we talked about dog yoga. So folks can go get their yoga with their dogs and then they can go get their acupuncture with their dogs.
That's right. We have a lot to talk about today.
All comes together.
It's all about, natural health. That's definitely a theme of the show. Lots about nutrition and, alternatives to allopathic and mainstream or large brand grocery store foods that getting it out there, getting some different information out there. So we're going to pick your brain quite a bit today. But if anybody has any questions for the vet, feel free to give us a call at any time during the show. You could even call right now. Phone number is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569.
Operator is standing by.
Yes. So, and Darcy is in the silent booth. Quarantined over there. She's the call screener. So.
Quarantined. One of these days we'll have to get her to say hello.
Yeah.
Because Darcy's really nice.
So. Yeah. So if you want to talk to Darcy, that's another good reason to give a call because she's the one answering the phone. That number again is 425-373-5527. And we have Dr. Darla Ruers, the veterinary acupuncturist, with us today. So you are a vet.
Yes.
Who went to vet school.
Yes.
And also practices acupuncture.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background and your training and kind of what got you to us here today?
Well, I graduated from the University of Florida's College of Veterinary Medicine in 2002. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I received a scholarship to come study acupuncture and Chinese medicine for animals with a veterinarian here in Seattle. And that was my first exposure to Seattle. It was like a whole different world. And seeing the way this veterinarian's practice was very eye-opening. Mm-hmm. It's very different from any other practice I had seen. Mm-hmm. However, I had also the very good fortune of at University of Florida, we had a veterinary acupuncturist on staff. In the teaching hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the first three students to get to do a clinic rotation with him as an elective just to see how it would go. And now it's fairly standard that you have that option that you can do a clinic rotation in acupuncture at the University of Florida while you're in clinics as a student. Mm. Now, Dr. Shea, that instructor, has a whole training program, which I've also done, and that's all separate from the vet school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty intense, which is probably why more veterinarians don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already a pretty rigorous many years by the time you get out. But I was always interested in alternative types of healing, so it always appealed to me. So it was just a natural progression.
Yeah.
The other thing is that my advisor was the neurosurgeon, Dr. Roger Clemens, who's actually from this area.
Mm-hmm.
And he was highly influential. He and the other neurologist at University of Florida, who wrote the book on small animal neurology, Dr. Cheryl Christman.
Mm-hmm.
They were huge advocates of acupuncture and herbal medicine. They were both Reiki masters, or they both are. Mm-hmm. So they were highly influential, and it was really nice to have people with such intelligence and such credentials to have an open mind and to advocate these other healing modalities that I might not have gotten such exposure to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really great.
Yeah, it's so nice to hear that those are even in vet schools. And so people, now it sounds like you were sort of inclined to go that, you know, kind of to check that out for, you know, personally anyway, but maybe for somebody who wasn't or who was skeptical to then hear these, you know, highly acclaimed veterinary neurologists recommending and supporting acupuncture as, you know, complementary to the medicine that's taught there is so great to hear. I didn't know that at all.
I think in general, too, the more that people learn about it and what acupuncture or different alternative therapies can be useful for, the types of conditions, for example, or that it actually does work in animals, you know, so therefore it's not any sort of placebo effect or psychological effect, you know, that's
right.
One reason some people haven't tried it previously, yeah. But now it's standard practice, you know, it's covered by insurance here in Washington, even some pet insurance programs pay for it fully, which is really awesome.
Yeah. So if you have a question for Dr. Ruers, feel free to give us a call today, anytime now, 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Well, why don't you, I'm just assuming everybody knows about acupuncture, but, you know, it wasn't until maybe a few to several months, well, several months ago, certainly within the past year, that I had it for myself. And I'm open to, you know, all sorts of different kinds of things, but it took me until this long to explore that. And I found someone who does wonderful work for people, who I've mentioned many times on the show, Robert Meduzia, Kirkland, Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. And since I've really had the experience personally for myself, I am so present to how important it is and to it as an option for my animals. But why don't you tell us just a little bit about how, you know, what is acupuncture? I mean, think of people, I think, no needles.
Right.
You stick needles in the in people, but why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, I think that maybe it sounds a little scary, but for example, I mean, I put acupuncture needles in cats and birds sometimes, all sorts of animals, and the fact that they let me do that and they really don't mind should tell people that they're really not as painful or scary as they sound. They're a lot different from the type of needle that they use to give injections or vaccinations with. They're much smaller and relatively painless. You do feel a little bit, but that's part of what helps it work. You feel a rush of energy in the certain points, the acupuncture points. So there are energy highways, so to speak, that run through your body. And along these highways, there are specific points where that you can actually measure with an ohm meter that measures resistance, I believe. So the acupuncture points have lower electrical resistance and higher electrical conductance. Hmm. So all these maps of the body that were drawn thousands of years ago can actually be validated by modern technology. Mm-hmm. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, and with, you know, today it's like, well, how is it proven? How, you know, how can this scientifically be measured? And, and you know, we really are just electrical conductors as you know, ourselves. And we can, you know, move energy through each other. And it's nice that it can actually be measured with an instrument as opposed to.
Well, the nervous system is pretty complex.
Yeah.
And I can't begin to pretend that I understand it fully.
Yeah.
However, there are a lot of ionic particles in the body that create a current, and they also help to conduct the nerves. So the little communication that happens between the different nerves, there's a lot of nerves branching out from the spinal cord that connect internal organs and then have different branches that come off to the muscles. And then even up to the skin. So you can feel along the back, for example, on a dog, say, and find where there are sensitive points. And those are, from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, association points with particular organs according to the traditional Chinese medicine system.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, some patient, a dog who's experiencing pain, there are some other reasons why, too, but they may have sensitivity at the liver association points.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use those connections with the nerves to act as a diagnostic tool,
mm-hmm.
and you can also use them as a therapeutic tool and actually use the acupuncture needles or massage techniques there. There's mm-hmm. very specific types of traditional Chinese massage called Tui Na.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is much more intentional and energetic than actual heavy-handed manipulation. Some of it's very light. So, for example, with some of the animals, if they're very sensitive, sometimes we just do that
mm-hmm.
instead of actually using needles. And I understand from my human counterparts who practice acupuncture, sometimes people are too sensitive to have needles inserted. And I believe the Japanese style, or one of the styles, they don't necessarily insert the needles at all, and it still works.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens up a whole can of worms as far as our understanding of everything being physical, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're much more than just our physical bodies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So why don't we take a quick break? It looks like we've got someone who called in, and we'll get to that call right after our break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I saw her today. I saw her face. It was a face I loved.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, BC, courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you suffering from neck pain, back pain, headaches, numbness, and tingling? At Favreau Chiropractic, you have the opportunity to experience healthcare's leading form of spinal rehabilitation that has been proven to relieve pain and permanently realign your spine. Located in Seattle's Madison Valley neighborhood, Favreau Chiropractic offers a comprehensive service that goes far beyond cracking your back. Visit www.favchiro.com. or call 206-726-9595. That's FAVCHIRO.com. A different approach to chiropractic.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We are here with Dr. Darla Ruers of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture.
My little song decided not to play.
Aww.
It was needles and pins.
Oh, would you like us to sing instead?
Next time.
You know that song, The Searchers.
No.
Needles and pins. All right.
Oh.
That's the equivalent of it.
Please sing it to us.
Well, we have a call on...
We'll fix it in post.
All right. We have a call on line one. We have Maggie in Seattle. Hi, Maggie.
Hang on one sec here. See, this will fix this in post, too. Okay, now she should be able to hear you.
Hi, Maggie.
Come on, Maggie.
Come on, Maggie.
Let's try one
Hi,
more
I'm
time.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, okay, there she is.
Hi, sorry.
So you have a question for Dr. Ruers?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
First of all, this is my second question. My first question was to ask her to give us a very basic philosophical and maybe anatomical description of acupuncture, because for a John Q. public like me, it's just like a bunch of pins going into somebody's body.
Mm-hmm.
But she answered it so well that I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have another question. I would love to hear one of, I'm sure, many cases that stand out in your memory. This is for Dr. Ruhr, of course, that a dog was either almost ready to be put down, or other people thought that the particular disorder or break or whatever it was beyond repair, and in a case like that she was able to work on the dog and bring it to a full life.
Great questions, Maggie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that there's actually an emergency point. An acupuncture point, and it's right underneath the nose. And when it is stimulated with the needle very quickly, it actually raises blood pressure and increases the respiratory rate too. Hmm. So for someone who's gone into cardiac arrest, or if they're not doing well under anesthesia, my own personal example, when my cat was hit by a car, mm-hmm. I was able to stimulate that and get him revived.
Mm.
Interestingly, when you stimulate that point more slowly, you get endorphin release, so more calming. I believe it's endorphin. It might be serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a calming effect. So it depends on how you manipulate the needles, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as some other examples, a lot of back problems where the disc is compressed and it's very painful and debilitating for the animal, and I understand in people as well, the acupuncture can be extremely helpful for that. And sometimes they don't even need surgery. A lot of times that is the first therapeutic even that neurologists will recommend, because it's cost effective, it's not invasive.
Yeah.
And it works really well. The animals don't mind, they get pain relief. I've had other dogs who, with just really severe arthritis, who hadn't been able to jump up into the car in 2 years, and after their first treatment with acupuncture, they can jump into the car on the way out of the office. Or dogs who are paralyzed, and then they can walk. Again, that relates to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty amazing stuff. A lot of those animals...
Is that somewhat, not common, but is that something that you see... occasionally is back and leg problem?
I would say it makes up a good portion of the patients that I see, actually. I see a lot of allergies and a lot of seizure patients as well.
Hmm. Well, I'm very impressed, and thank you so much for doing such a great job helping us keep our pets healthy and happy.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you, Julie. I love your program.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. So, yeah, there's allergies.
Cystitis. There's crystals in the urine. There's even herbs to help dissolve bladder stones. I've seen them reduce in size on x-rays from herbs. Heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma in cats especially. It's really much better than the alternatives of using steroids or bronchodilators, which... have a lot of side effects, infections, diarrhea, vomiting, inflammatory bowel syndrome, which can present as either of those, constipation. There are so many things that can be treated.
And you do a lot of work with nutrition as well.
Oh, so, yeah. That's your basic building blocks for your body.
Yeah.
It's a shame that in vet school, maybe it's different now, but when I was in vet school, we had one nutrition class. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that research, again, or a lot of that work, I should say, is done on our own time and mostly taken up by the holistic vets who realize the importance of it.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's like one of the first things to look at.
Well, it should be.
Yeah. Because of, you know, anything going on in the body environment is so, so affected by what goes in, you know, what we eat. And it also affects, I mean, in a lot of cases is the cause of the reason why people come to see you in the first place. Do you see a lot of people who think of acupuncture as an option and are maybe feeding a brand of food like from the grocery store or and just kind of don't know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some of those patients, we never do acupuncture. Some of them, we don't ever get around to herbs. We change their nutrition.
Yeah.
Now, some of them, we do all the above. And a lot of people here, I would say, are really doing a great job as far as nutrition. There, people are much more educated here than in other parts of the country where I've worked, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that the Northwest is pretty progressive as far as pet nutrition and sort of is leading the country in that awareness and...
It's also very dog conscious in general.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, rescue dogs instead of, you know, looking for a pure breed just so they can save a life, mm-hmm. you know. And there are so many dogs here and a lot of cats. So there, mm-hmm. it's just a very, overall, very animal friendly mm-hmm. place.
Is it a dog loving city?
In general, you would.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. You would think that we'd allow them in more places, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is a dog crazed city.
I think after San Francisco, we're number two.
Really?
I think so.
Hmm.
How do they rate that, I wonder?
Maybe the jobs for the poo picker-uppers. I don't know.
I'm just wondering if there's like a dog survey that dogs fill out, you know. Do I feel loved?
There should be. Yeah, yep. I think they measure too. I mean, just as far as like pet licenses and per capita kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And then also, just all of the different, I mean, there's a number of different veterinary acupuncturists. There's a number of holistic vets in this area, which is also an indication of where we are as far as our awareness of alternatives. And there's a lot of people out there who talk a lot about food, including myself, and trying to bring, you know, that awareness to people who just didn't know. And my experience has been that, like, I do a nutrition section in all of my basic obedience classes.
I think that's wonderful.
And, you know, it's like we take half the class and I talk about the industry and what to look for and just to kind of equip people to know how to tell what's really in a food, because they all say on the front of the bag that they're complete and balanced and healthy and all that stuff. But it's really the list of ingredients is where you want to turn to. And so just equipping people with some really basic information, like no corn or wheat, no byproducts, no artificial preservatives, and reading the ingredients. And so next time you're in a grocery store, especially, go into the pet section and find one of the cheapest bags of food and then turn it to the side or the back of the bag and read the list of ingredients in the food, and you'll see actually what's in the food, and it's actually not only not healthy but harmful to our pets.
Unfortunately, some of those preservatives that are linked with causing cancer, like BHA, BHT, and ethoxyquin, they mm-hmm. still use them in human foods quite frequently, too.
Yeah.
So watch out for those.
I was disappointed, very disappointed, to find that pretty much all cereal has BHT, either in the packaging or like human.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't. I mean, it's like I won't feed it to my dog, so I can't be like, oh, it's fine for me, though.
Yeah, a lot of the crackers do. Mm. We had one pet food rep who told us, well, if it's not on the label ingredients on the pet food, they're just misrepresenting because it's always used in the meat. So I don't think that's necessarily always the case, especially if you're using human-grade ingredients in the food, especially if it's a raw food, for example, and organic, it's certainly not going to have that in there.
Mm-hmm. BHT, BHA.
Ethoxaquin.
Now, what is BHT?
I can't even tell you what it stands for. I just know it's bad.
Okay.
The other thing that people don't think about is the food colorings.
Yeah.
I've had dogs having seizures who we take them off all their pepperoni and their food that has the different food colorings in it, in particular the red ones.
Yeah.
And they never have another seizure again.
Hmm.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of marketing that goes in. The dogs don't care what color their food is. They just like to eat.
Yeah, or shape it is.
But don't you want them to think it's bacon? How will they know?
How about the foods that, you know, have the green and the orange colors so it looks like vegetables, looks like whole foods? Yeah, not so wonderful.
Well, that's just, you know, they're selling it. Selling to the people.
But that's the point, is be a conscious consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read the labels, because even if it says chicken and rice, for example, when you look on the back, there may be wheat, gluten, soy, or a whole bunch of other things. So mm-hmm. if you're trying to, for example, do a food trial to get rid of itchy skin, you want to know every single ingredient that your pet is ingesting,
yeah.
and including even little treats. So even... You know, even treats from the bank or, you know, anywhere you might take your dog if they want to give them a treat. If they're having, you know, itchy skin, ear infections repeatedly, chewing at their paws all the time, you might just want to do a food trial. And that means be very strict for at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Watch every single ingredient that they're getting.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Darla Ruers. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health? Take less medicine or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup? Feeling stressed or anxious? Or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's KemmleyElectric.com.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit www.healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support within the context of a healthcare setting. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients in a clinical environment. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit www.healingallies.com or call Darcy Bolts, founder of Healing Allies, at 206-406-1455 for more information. That's www.healingallies.com, H-E-E-L-I-N-G, allies.com. Age-old companions, a new way of living.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's The Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show now at its new time, Wednesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Very nice, Eric.
Thank you. Second time's a charm.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are here today with Dr. Darla Ruers, veterinary acupuncturist. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks again for having me.
You're welcome. So we are taking questions from callers. So if you have a question for the vet, feel free to give us a call. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So there's been a lot of conversation recently about vaccines.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
There should be.
It's a hot topic right now. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, in fact, I just got a wonderful letter report, actually, paper from Elizabeth Hart today, and I brought it in just to summarize. Basically, you know, that's kind of the annual revaccination year after year, and even now sometimes we only do it every 3 years if it's a 3-year label vaccine. Mm-hmm. But basically there's really not any scientific evidence to validate that those are the labels that the vaccine manufacturers put on the bottles, and so that's what veterinarians follow out of liability concern.
Mm-hmm.
But I have here, I just want to read this, if that's
sure.
Okay,
that's great.
Dog and cat vaccination guidelines issued by the World Small Animal Veterinary Association note that dogs properly vaccinated with modified live virus core vaccines, which are the typical type,
mm-hmm.
for parvovirus, distemper virus, and adenovirus, which is like hepatitis. Those mm-hmm. are the, that's your standard distemper sort of mm-hmm. vaccine, have very high protection from infection and at least 98% protection from disease. So this World Small Animal Veterinary Association guidelines advise that duration of immunity after vaccination, or how long the vaccine is effective in the body, with these vaccines is 7 years or longer based on challenge and actual serological studies, meaning they did the science here. The guidelines note that dogs that have responded to vaccination with these modified live virus core vaccines maintain a solid immunity or immunological memory, meaning your immune system's going to remember if you're exposed even years later, it's still going to respond and keep you safe for many years in the absence of any repeat vaccination. So basically, there's a lot of evidence to support this. And there's a lot of concern about the adverse side effects from over-vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
The list of adverse effects potentially range from arthritis and polyarthritis, meaning all over, autoimmune disorders or where the body starts attacking itself, gingivitis, skin infections or eruptions, itchy skin, cystitis. There's a lot of potential adverse reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention some of the vaccines still contain heavy metals as a preservative, which are not good for the body, of course. One of the leading experts actually mentioned that there is antifreeze in some of the vaccines.
Great.
I know. Wonderful, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah.
So it makes sense because I don't get vaccinated every 3 years.
Right.
I get vaccinated as a kid.
Right.
And there's parents these days, too, which is also a hot topic, who aren't vaccinating their kids because of their beliefs. But, you know, even if you do get that initial vaccination, it would make sense. Why do we need to get it every year? I don't.
Yeah, the, you know, most of the viruses that we're protecting the dogs from, or cats, are most dangerous to them when they're young. So it's important. I mean, I've seen parvovirus. I've seen distemper in a dog, you know, so it's scary. So I can understand why the fear generates a lot of concern, as it should. However, you know, from when you look at actual vaccine studies, it seems like the vaccines come out after that natural rise and then decline in a virus in the population. So meaning that if an animal or a person is susceptible to a particular disease, they're going to be wiped out, and those who are left are going to have some already immunity to it. So how much do we need the vaccines?
It's like after the fact.
Right.
Too little, too late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a question. We have Maureen in Kitsap on line one. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
You have a question for Dr. Ruers?
Yes, I do. I have actually two things. One, I have a little Jack Russell, and she's almost 20.
Awesome.
And wow.
Yay.
Several years ago, she was bitten by a baby rattler when I was living someplace else. Got her to the vet. 24-hour vet, because it was after hours, and they did not have any anti-venom, but they did save her life, and I thought everything would be fine. When I moved, she became very ill. Thank goodness I found a vet that did all natural work, and we did herbs and a lot of other things, and she gave her this particular diet, and I just wanted to let you know that I think that's why she's been so healthy. If the viewers were listening, were interested in knowing what I feed her.
Oh, we'd love to hear, especially since your dog is 20. That's awesome.
And that also goes with the question of vaccines. I have not vaccinated her for several years.
If she's made it this far, chances are, you know, her immune system is working pretty darn well, right?
Right. And, you know, and I went to get her nails clipped by a regular place that just grooms dogs, and they wouldn't do her because I hadn't vaccinated her. So I took her to my vet, and he said, oh, poo, you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the fuss is about.
Shame on them.
And that was my question. At this age, I just don't feel I really need to keep up the vaccines with her.
I would agree with you.
Would you? How about the tetanus, though?
The tetanus?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that should be kept up? She doesn't go outside much on her own. I have to follow her around because she's pretty blind and deaf, and she never sees other dogs anymore.
I would. Was that from the rattlesnake?
Do you mean rabies?
Oh, rabies. I'm sorry. Okay. The rabies shot. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. So here's where the legality of things gets tricky. Rabies is the only one required by law.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on when she had her last rabies, it may you may be required to do so by law. However, if she has anything, you know, also vaccines are labeled for healthy animals. It sounds like overall she's doing pretty good. But if she has anything at all, even potentially arthritis or something that might preclude her from being required, you can have a letter written by your veterinarian saying that it's not in this dog's best interest, it's not in their best health interest to be revaccinated at this time. So it is possible to get waivers.
Okay, because she does have one hind leg that, you know, I'm quite sure that she's probably got a little some arthritis in it.
Mm-hmm.
But at 20, I'm not really interested in, you know, injecting her with stuff when she's done so well so far.
I would agree with you.
You know, because I know those things can also have an opposite reaction and make them quite ill.
Oh, definitely. There can definitely be side effects. And I guess that's the point of this paper is that, you know, people think that or have been trained or conditioned to take their dogs in every year for the shots. Like the shots make them healthy. And that's not the case. The thing is, they need the regular physical exam by someone who knows what to look for so that, you know, conditions can be caught early while they're treatable. So we're kind of trying to retrain folks that it's not the shots that make them healthy. It's the nutrition, you know, paying attention to their quality of life and what's going on with them. So, yeah, I would agree with you.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought. The diet that she's been on, it's been about 10 years now, is about, I make up 4 cups of organic brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
I cook that. Then we try to find, and up here, thank goodness I am, I can find organic meat.
I know, it's great where we live, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes the meat has deer meat in it. It depends upon, but she seems to like it, and I think you can't get more organic than that.
Right.
And so I put in, a cup. It depends on the dog. At the beginning, we only put a cup of that meat in. I suppose if you have a dog that would like more meat, there's no real rationing to it. Then I put 2 cooked eggs, and I add about 1 teaspoon of vitamin C. And when she was real sick, we added some complex B when she first got really ill. Her liver was shutting down, and so were her kidneys. So we managed to get all that turned around. So I don't add the vitamin B so much anymore. And then I either add flaxseed oil if I can find a good salmon fish oil that's not overly ridiculously priced, or you can add some canola oil.
Uh-huh.
To it, and it's about 1 to 2 tablespoons. And then I add a package of frozen vegetables.
I know you're making me hungry.
The dog loves vegetables. I can't believe it. And I just mix it all together. I put it in a food processor very briefly to chop up the meat and a little bit of the vegetables. And she inhales it. She gets about a cup.
And then
I leave out a bowl of some organic kibble for her, just because if I don't get home from work or if I'm gone too long, she gets something to eat. And I pass that recipe on to lots of people.
Sounds like a good recipe.
Yeah.
Well, I know somebody I passed it on to, and her dog's allergies cleared up.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, it's a bit of work to make it, depending upon the size dog. But with a little dog like a Jack Russell, that amount lasts me over a week. So I don't find it very difficult at all. Certainly not inconvenient.
And that 20 years old, certainly worth the extra work. Well, Maureen, I'm going to send you back to Darcy to get your mailing address. We'll send you out some of the Dog Talk Show stickers.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
well, thank you for the information about the shot.
Yeah, and thanks for, sharing with us the story about your almost 20-year-old Jack Russell, and we'll get those stickers out to you in just a few days.
Thank you, Maureen.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that's excellent to hear about those old dogs, especially as having an older dog myself. So we're going to take a break for just a few minutes. We'll be back. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Thanks to its listeners, Alternative Talk 1150 has become the most refreshing talk radio in our area. Now we want to hear more from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and take a brief survey. Besides helping improve your favorite station, you'll have a chance to win an overnight trip to Victoria, B.C., courtesy of the Victoria Clipper. Log on now to 1150kknw.com to be heard and to have a chance at winning. Contest details posted online.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Tune in June 29th to Conversations Live when Vicki will talk to celebrity coach Robert Mack about the art and science of fulfillment.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are here with Dr. Darla Ruers of Ancient Arts Veterinary Acupuncture.
Hello.
Hello. So we had a great caller in talking about her homemade diet, and we were talking about how that she puts it in a food processor, which is great because especially with the vegetables, it's good to really grind them up small so that the dogs and cats actually can access the nutrients better.
Right, so the cell walls are broken mm-hmm. on the plant material. Yes,
right.
It's much easier even for us to absorb it that way.
Yeah, well, and in some cases at all, like a kernel of
right.
corn, you know.
Oh, good point.
So I think with, you know, a really good point to make wrapping up the show is to, well, why don't you actually just talk about it? Because you put it very well about, you know, especially not responding to medications, et cetera. So.
Yeah, I think one take-home message I'd really like to put out there is that there are options. You know, if your pet is on a medication and they're not getting better, or if they're having side effects that are not conducive to the animal being happy, or, you know, they're just not tolerating the medication, that there are options. Acupuncture is just one of many alternative therapies that exist, and herbal medicine. Herbals can act as pharmaceuticals, but they can act much more gently. The other thing is that you'd be surprised how many conditions can be improved, even when other veterinarians have recommended that an animal be euthanized or put down. You know, there's a lot of options for maintaining quality of life. Kidney disease in cats is a great example. Acupuncture can really help with their appetite, with their nausea and vomiting, help them keep muscle mass on, help them just feel better too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have cats who live years, and if people are willing to maybe give a little bit of subcutaneous fluids every once in a while, but the acupuncture helps a great deal. And that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. And I think for everybody listening, it's true, whether it's for your pet or for yourself, I think, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't get to this point, but if you do have a situation where nothing's working, your experience is like nothing's working, or, you know, you can't tolerate the medication, like you said, try acupuncture because it's awesome. I've had wonderful experience with Dr. Ruers with my older shepherd mix, who's got some back issues. I think his disc is maybe not slipped, but just kind of worn down.
A little bit subluxated. The discs can get really hardened,
mm-hmm.
and so the squishy part can squish out, so
yeah.
the nerves get compressed.
Yeah, and that's really helped him, and I've also, for myself, found acupuncture to be just amazing. And, you know, don't give up and look at alternatives. And then also too, just so important is the nutrition. And I think also, you know, with a healthy dog, understanding that good nutrition is one of the most important things to the dog's or any animal's ability to heal and their general life force.
Right.
And so if, in like personally, I can say in the case of Chewy, who's been on, raw food and supplements for several years, now that he has this back issue, the fact that he is in good shape, has a lot of muscle mass, a healthy dog in general, helps you do your job more easily because, you know, if you get a dog in who's been on a low quality food and has, you know, is kind of hurting in other places in addition to whatever the acute injury might be, it's like you have so much more to do in order to get the body able to heal.
Oh, I would agree. I would say in general that if the more pharmaceuticals an animal's been on and the poorer the nutrition, the longer it takes to achieve the desired results.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, even if you can't cook a whole meal for your pet, if you can supplement wholesome, healthy foods, even if it's every once in a while, it's still going to help. So even small changes can be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. And there are lots of easy ways to add into the food what is missing through the processing. And, you know, if you get a good quality, high quality dry food, you know, there's lots of easy ways. If you've got leftover steamed vegetables, leftover meat, you know, not just the gristle and fat cut off, but actual muscle meat or organ meat or chicken necks.
There's always room for improvement, probably mm-hmm. for most of us, huh?
Yeah, I know. I think my dogs eat better than I do, for sure. So you have a workshop coming up June 27th.
Yes, it's an Qigong workshop. So it's for people, but animals really respond to their people when they meditate and do Qigong. Qigong is a really gentle, moving meditation. It's very easy to learn, at least the style I teach. We have a high success rate of people being able to feel energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that really opens up a whole nother world. But in the workshop, we actually get into moving the energy too, which can be really nice for using with your pet, with massage or just intentional healing work.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't you say that pets tend to sort of mirror our...
Lots of times, yeah. a lot of times they, some people would probably blame it on lifestyle or environment influences, but it's really common for an animal to have the same condition or the same traditional Chinese medicine diagnosis mm-hmm. as their person. I mean, it's really common. Also, certain anxiety and nervous habits a lot of times are reflected in the person as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely pick up and sponge for us. And I think a lot of times, energetically, they're trying to help us carry some sort of burden.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in the context of dog training and behavior, it's like a constant self-evaluation. Just in, you know, what are you doing to contribute to the environment that might be cause of upset or anxiety or aggression or even just in the matter of just basic education.
Right.
Training techniques. It's like, what are you doing to help your dog learn? Because the dogs tend to be pretty consistent that way. It's the people that tend to be the variable.
Right. And you know, one of the theories might be pheromones. If someone's less present or distracted or nervous, you know, maybe they're emitting stress hormones that the dogs or cats pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's more to it than that even.
Mm-hmm.
There may be resonance patterns that they're picking up on energetically.
Mm-hmm. Well, to visit Dr. Ruhr's website, go to www.ancientartsvet.com. If you have a question or would like to schedule an appointment, you can call her at 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025. Now, do you Twitter?
I don't, no.
Don't. I'm new. They got me. I'm now Twittering. So we Twitter on the Dog Talk Show. You can also visit www.dogtalkshow.com. If you've missed any part of this interview or other shows, all of the past shows are archived if you click on the podcast tab. And there's also a blog up there with more and more articles being posted, lots about nutrition and health and all that. Well, Dr. Ruwers, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Julie, for inviting me.
And we'll look forward to having you back again sometime soon.
Great.
Thanks for listening. This is the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Have a great day.